General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
My story tonight was told to me many years ago by Chobo of the Kwando. It concerns a government official called Bateman, witchcraft, and a wandering man whose name was Willoughby. Bateman was everything from office boy to magistrate at a lonely post on the Kwando River near the Bechuanaland border. He was the only white man for a couple of hundred miles. The post was built on top of a kopje, one side of which was a sheer cliff dropping down to the river, the rest surrounded by an 8-foot zareba made out of thorn trees and barbed wire. Bateman wasn't lonely. His sort never are. They've cut themselves off from what we are pleased to call civilization and make their own lives, which appear strange to many people. He was manning his lonely post when Cuthbertson, a traveller, arrived one night. Cuthbertson had a sharp instinct where a story is concerned, and it was to him the official first recounted the tale of the leopard's snarl. It was a beautiful evening. Bateman sat in a smudge of mosquitoes outside the main hut, oblivious to those insects' bombing raids. There was a single gate in the zareba that was locked at night. The gate had spikes on the top. It was a pretty formidable place.
A ruddy, funny hyena.
Hello? Anybody there? Hello?
Mr. Bateman?
Oh, hold on. I'll open up. Hello. Thought I was going to have to spend the night outside your gate.
I thought you were a mighty queer hyena. Come in.
Yeah, thanks. Name's Cuthbertson. You're a friend of Chobo's, I believe. He told me where to find you.
What's that old renegade up to now?
The usual.
Come into the scoff car, Mr. Cuthbertson. We'll have dinner. You must spend the night and tell me the news from the big world.
Bateman, your words give me hope. He's awfully worried you'd think me an intruder.
Dinner was magnificent. They drank whiskey and jawed well into the night. It was during a lull in the conversation that Cuthbertson noticed the curios that were stacked on the tables and hanging upon the walls. One curio in particular caught Cuthbertson's eye.
Rum-looking thing that. May I?
Oh, do. Odd you should pick that one out. Happens to be number one in my collection. Doubt if it would be everyone's cup of tea, though, if they knew the history.
Elephant ivory, isn't it?
Hippo.
The leopard. Very clever. Spots have been worked right into the material.
Yes, hunting leopard. Deadliest killer in Africa.
It's the poise of the thing that makes it. Crouched, ready to spring. And look at that head. Oh, it's beautiful. And a little terrifying, too.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, the chap who carved this knew his onions.
Not bad for a primeval savage. But then he naturally put all he knew into this particular job. You see, it's something rather special.
How do you come by it?
It's a long story. Whiskey?
Tell it to me. Yes, I'll have another drop, thanks.
It was some years ago, one afternoon. I saw a line of carriers coming towards this post. At the head of them was a white man, looking a bit like Stanley or Livingston or one of the old timers. Livingston, I presume.
Ah, they told me there was a post here. I was beginning to despair. Willoughby's my name. Be glad of a rest and some fodder with you. Perhaps my porter's
name. Oh, glad to see you. No trouble at all. Willoughby said he'd been in the bush for more than a year. He was collecting material for a book he intended writing on traditions and customs. He seemed a knowledgeable man, spoke several of the local dialects fluently. He was all in, though. His hand shook, his eyes were glassy, his skin was yellow, not burned brown, as one would expect after months in the Bundu. There was something wrong with him. I didn't know what. I gave him a hut to sleep in, and after he'd put his kit away and seen to his porter's needs, we sat down for a few spots before an early dinner. Like you, he noticed my collection and examined some of the pieces.
You've got an interesting collection.
Yes, work of years.
I wonder if you'd care to see something of mine. I'd like to show you. Just a minute. Just bring it.
What's eating you, Mr. Willoughby? I feel like turning in early. But it's taboo to desert a man with a yarn when he wants to get it off his chest.
What do you think of that?
He held up the leopard, the one which fascinated you this evening.
It's called the Watcher in the tongue of the Barpedi and belonged to an outcast branch of the tribe. Can't say I know much about them, except they have a few unpleasant habits and practice black magic, with a bit of cannibalism thrown in for good measure.
Well, how did you get hold of it? Almost your very words to me, Cuthbertson. When you asked, it seemed as if I'd been at this place in time once before.
I was camped one evening, close to where I'd shot a big buffalo bull. My carriers were enjoying themselves, scoffing the meat, when the Barpedi turned up. They are nomads, and very fine hunters. But it was a dry season, and a lot of the felt had been burnt off. This made hunting with bows and arrows practically impossible. But a white man's rifle was another thing. They needed meat, and needed it badly. It was a full moon, you see. Hunter's moon, we call it. And a ceremony was to take place. They had plenty of beer and offered me some in exchange for meat. I agreed and told them to go ahead. My own carriers had disappeared as soon as the Barpedi had arrived. But I knew they'd turn up again, so I wasn't worried. In no time at all, the Barpedi had built fires and the festivities began. The meat they ate nearly raw, and the beer began to disappear down the throat. There was a headman who seemed to be some sort of a priest. Well into the night, he gave some kind of order, and they all formed up in line. The old priest kneeled down before them with this totem, the Watcher, held out in front of him. Each native was touched with the totem as they filed by. Every member of the group passed and kneeled before the old man, was touched with this carved leopard, and then went away. When this was all over, the singing and dancing started again. Too much noise for me to sleep. Blast it. You must flop out soon. All that beer and meat. Oh, I bet the old one will be the last, too. And he's got what I want. The totem. Must be asleep now, even the old one. Have to be careful. They'll slit my throat if they catch me. Obviously, it means a lot to him. Force his fingers. Away from him.
No.
Gently does it. Back now. They'll create a stink when they find out. I'll have to hide it, and hide it well. Put it in the tea. They'll never look there. My carriers arrived back the next morning. And so, to fool the Barpedi, I made them...
Turn out your belongings! A crime has been committed. Something of great value has been stolen from our friends, the Barpedi. I will make the search myself.
I searched my own stuff for good measure. They seemed satisfied. And then someone had remembered that they'd met some of the traditional enemies on the way to my camp. So they headed off after them. I packed up and went south, out of the country.
All the time Willoughby was telling me his story, he became more and more excited.
Excited?
Once or twice I thought he was going to throw a fit. Eyes were staring, body trembling. I suggested bed and said he could continue his story the next day. He wouldn't hear of it. Anyhow, we had a couple of stiff drinks and this seemed to pep him up a bit. Seemed much calmer and went on with his story.
Speed was essential. In case the Barpedi guessed that I was the one who'd thieved from them. I put a lot of distance between the place of my last camp and the place of my next. I lay down to sleep around midnight. Soon be dawn. Eventually. Not long enough, though. Felt bad the next day. Same business the next night. And the next. Went on and on. Made camp earlier and earlier. Still the same. Couldn't sleep. Moon began to wane. Every night I lay. Senses at full stretch. There was a frightful restlessness tugging at me. I heard every sound in the bush, magnified, it seemed, many times. Then, one night.
Now, here, come out here, come now.
I listened for some time, badly wanting to follow the voice. I say voice, but...
Come here. Here. Here.
Oh, no! That voice. Noise. Coming from... Imagination. Pull yourself together, Willoughby, you bally fool. And then I glanced to my right. I didn't remember placing the leopard totem near my sleeping place. I thought it was still in my pack. But it lay in the open night, in a patch of light from the moon. The moon was full again. The bullet head was facing me. The thick tail, the deadly hunting leopard, ferocious, ready to spring at me. I looked at the totem. It looked back at me. I was very afraid. I don't know why. I can't explain. And then gradually, my fear went away. And the totem seemed to assume another shape. I mean, its shape was still exactly the same. It's just that some venom went from it. And I saw it for what it was. A harmless ivory carving, modeled beautifully. I put it into my bush jacket and... retreat! We traveled until daylight. I heard the voice again the next night. Again I couldn't sleep. I wanted to follow the voice. I made my head carrier sit with me and warned him not to allow me to travel alone into the bush. He said I had a touch of fever, might wonder. Did I have fever? I don't know. 2 nights later, I heard the noise again, and I tried to follow it.
There! Let me go, Bruno! Leave me! I have to... Bruno!
I wanted the fight to get away, but they had me back and woke the others. We trekked again, hour after hour, and when daylight returned, I fell exhausted and slept for I don't know how long. Then the moon waned again, and things seemed better. The next full moon, the voice returned, and the longing to follow the voice returned. And this went on until last night. And then tonight I saw this place, and I felt...
Willoughby broke off and stared at me like a frightened child. Then his eyes fell and rested upon the leopard totem he'd placed on the table there. We didn't speak for a long time, and then... Oh, it's likely you've got a touch of the sun. It's okay now, though.
It is okay here, isn't it? Safe here, from the voice.
Safe now. You're safe. Look, take a pull at that brandy. Make yourself drunk. Anything. Just forget this...
nonsense.
If you like.
I don't know what's troubling me. I sometimes I tell myself I'm being a chump. Say to myself, Willoughby, you're a blasted... And then I see the totem. Hear the voices. It all starts all over again. I don't know, Bateman. I really don't know. All I do know is somewhere deep down... Here, I feel frightened, scared, bally sick. The awful thing is, I don't know what I'm scared of. And that's really difficult, to be scared. Okay, that's one thing, but to be frightened of something you don't understand. Don't... What do I do? I feel I want to get the devil out of this country, this whole continent. All over a leopard... carved out of ivory. It's the leopard carving that's doing it. You realize that, don't you?
If you put it all down to a bit of ivory carved into a totem, why haven't you thrown the darn thing away?
You know, I was going to do just that. I meant to, but somehow I just couldn't do it. Couldn't bring myself to do it. I said to myself, you'd be a darn fool to be scared of a bit of carved ivory. I laughed. You know, laughed at myself. I mean me, a white man. Intelligent, or so I like to suppose. Being frightened of a lump of... You see, somehow, I became convinced that it was the carving that was responsible for the voice. And the sounds. And the sort of snarling I heard. I was convinced in my own mind that it was the carving that was responsible for all this. I mean, call it a guilt complex if you like. I did steal the leopard, didn't I?
As you've described your exploit to me?
Yes, you did. Please, I beg of you, don't take what I tell you lightly.
No, I don't, my dear fellow. I don't.
After all, I've been in the bush a long time. There are more things in heaven and earth. You see?
Quite.
Anyway, now I'm here, I feel better already. Those nights in the bush were ghastly. I don't want to live through that again for anything.
You don't have to. You'll feel better still, old man, after a good night's rest. I suggest you turn in, huh?
Yes. Good advice. I will. First, perhaps...
Brandy.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Right. Will do. There.
Capital.
Cheers.
Cheers. And then a good long sleep. Medicine of the gods.
He turned in. I remember his face was ashen, almost expressionless. He was a worried man, but there seemed to be nothing I could do to help. I slept well, despite Willoughby's problems. I felt a little guilty about this, but I slept well. I awoke early the next morning. My servant came in with the tea.
Master. Master?
Hmm? Well, what the devil's the matter? What is it?
It's the white stranger, Master. Noise wake me. I ran out to see the white man on the ground.
White man.
I ran to you. Quickly.
Right, wait. Wait a minute. I must get dressed. Wait.
Quickly, Master. It is good that you should come with haste.
Yes. Willoughby lay at the foot of the zareba, face down, head towards the thorns, arms flung out towards his head. He wore a shirt with a cummerbund round his middle. I knelt and turned him over. He was in an awful mess. His hands, arms, and legs were torn by the thorns and covered with dried blood. Then I noticed a slight bulge in the material around his middle. It was the totem again.
What is it, Master?
Nothing. You see nothing, do you hear? You say nothing to anyone about this thing.
I understand, Master, perfectly.
I'm an official. As such, I don't want to hand out an issue of needless gossip amongst people who already have enough. I shoved the leopard carving into my pocket. As for Willoughby himself, there was nothing I could do for him. He was stone dead.
That? What, Master?
Nothing. Heart, I suppose. Oh, yes. I'd heard it. A leopard. Sounded a bit like... But the scream thing, that was no leopard. Hearts. Must have been, I thought. Hart was the finding of the M.O. when he arrived the next day and held a post-mortem.
Really quite simple. Overstrain in a man who's not so young anymore. Last night, you say, Bateman?
I found him this morning. Happened sometime in the night, yes.
No need, really, for me to have come all this way. Simple, really.
Yeah, I know, but... Have you seen
what?
His face.
Awful agony of the last spasm. Hmm?
Yes. Must be. That's about it. awful agony of the last spasm.
No. I mean, you don't think that...
No.
It must have been something out of the ordinary to strike you like that.
Yes. It wasn't, well, what you might call an expression. Actually, more like a grimace, with the mouth wide open, showing the bare teeth. Then, you see, I tumbled to it. It wasn't really a grimace at all, but a snarl. The snarl of a hunting leopard, the moment before he leaps upon his prey.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.